So I've been working on my authorization service, and it's totally sweet. It's only taken me 6 months to build it. Just 6 months. I started implementing some basic RBAC library, but that wasn't enough, obviously. So I designed relationship-based fine-grained authorization for the highest security possible. And then, to make it super fast, I used a GPU tower, running in my mom's basement, of course, connected via optic cable to bare metal server at my local esports lounge, permissions, restrictions, and admin. Nailed it.
Wait. Whatever you did sounds cool, but like, there's also another option.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with permit.io. Permit is the full-stack authorization platform created so you never have to build permissions again. Build and manage permissions for any application with policy as code, APIs, developer-friendly SDKs, and user-facing UIs. Permit is an end-to-end authorization platform built on top of open-source policy engines. It's high-performing, gets decisions in less than 10 milliseconds, and uses a hybrid approach where config is in the cloud, but data and decisions are made locally. Not only is it intuitive, it lets you implement fully functional authorization in 5 minutes, not 6 months, and in the code base you prefer. Check out the link in the show notes or go to permit.io to learn more. That's permit.io. Sign up for Permit and stop rebuilding auth.
So scalability was one of the number one priorities from the beginning. Building an API first product that sits at basically core critical parts of a product, we wanted to make sure it scaled. One of our customers threw something like 3 million requests in a day through the system. And it's something that, you know, prior to that, they were doing like 30,000 requests a day. So they went on this huge jump from numerous days. And we only noticed, because we were checking analytics every day of like usage and things, the system just stayed solid the entire time. My name is James Perkins. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Unki.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Took 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do
next.
Took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a pain.
Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want
it. It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story.
I'm your host, Noah Labpart. And today, how James Perkins built seriously fast authentication so you can scale your user-facing API. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. James Perkins did not have a traditional journey to technology, but has been in the space for 16 years. He had planned to be a special education teacher prior to switching to technology. He's worked in pre-seed startups all the way to big corporations, but outside of tech, he has a wide variety of hobbies, in particular running and training for half marathons. This process requires about 6 weeks of training, primarily mental training over physical. James and his co-founder were friends and colleagues before their current venture. They had an idea around building a small version of API authentication. After building and releasing this version, they wanted to see how people received it. They were overwhelmed with the response and figured they should push harder on this to be a company. This is the creation story of Unki.
Unki as a company is an API management platform. We started in a very different direction than your traditional API management platforms. So if you look at, say, Kong or Tyke or Zooplo or any of those kind of platforms, a lot of those offer a gateway. And that's how you enter into the API management platform. You get a gateway and then maybe you have some extra features such as API keys or rate limiting or things like that. What we did at Unki was look at where developers are in the space versus where, say, DevOps or any of those kinds of people are. We started with API keys and provided a way for you to create, manage, delete, revoke, all those things that you need to do with an API key. It could just be a solo developer, it could be a very small, scrappy startup, and essentially give you the ability to make a user-facing API without having to worry about all of the intricacies of a gateway. We made it as simple as possible so that anyone could pick it up, whether you've done APIs before, it's your first API, we were just exploring the space. We want to meet developers at the core problem without them having to learn a whole new piece of the tech industry. Unki was born through myself and my co-founder. We had done some work before and some co-marketing because I worked at Clerk, he worked at Upstash, and he had this idea to build essentially a very small version of Unki as a marketing, joint marketing effort between Clerk and Upstash. And when he pitched it to me, I sat there and thought, this is actually a much bigger problem than most people realize. So maybe we could actually do this and make it into a product. We both were open source builders, so we just thought maybe this could be a side project. Let's just put it out there and see how the world receives it. And then if they receive it, maybe it is actually a business. The first commit was June 9th, and we launched our MVP on June 21st of 2023. And we launched it, and it was received really well, to the point where we were overwhelmed with the amount of reception that we had. And then that's when we knew that this was a problem that other developers had and that we should probably push harder into the space.
So let's dive into the MVP process. You told me how long it took and sort of maybe the high level of around how it was built, but give me the story there around how you went about it, how you went about building it, what sort of tools you were using to bring it to life and all the things.
So when we built the MVP, we were fortunate enough that both of us had been in the space. We went to what we all knew in the beginning. It was a Next.js application. We used Clerk for auth, and we used Upstash, as well as TinyBird for analytical data, and then PlanetScale for our database. And then our API was built originally in TypeScript. And the advantages we had there was those were all tech that both of us were incredibly familiar with, and that allowed us to move incredibly quickly. We didn't make scalable decisions in the beginning. We tried to make sure that we knew that this would scale to a level of, if we get 1 million requests tomorrow, are we going to be okay? So we did a lot of work around that, but we didn't think about what happens if 10,000 users sign up tomorrow. Is the Next.js app going to be okay? Is the analytical data going to be okay? Do we even need pricing? We didn't have pricing in the beginning of our MVP. We were just hosting the services and we were paying the fees. We made that decision based around, if we can build this and it actually has some legs, then we can invest in making this easier for us to maintain and make it scalable to a level of, if we hire 5 people, do we need to worry about any of this? We had a lot of components that we'd already built for other projects. So Andreas, my co-founder, had done a couple of other projects that were open source and fairly popular. So we grabbed a lot of the web app was built very much around that. And me being at Clerk, that meant I could implement things like middleware and protection and all those kinds of things. The biggest part for us was just the API. Because we're an API service, essentially, we had to build that from scratch from the beginning. The MVP was very much built upon, like, we can use Upstash to do a lot of these things. We can deploy it to Fly and make sure that it has a lot of regions so it can be globally distributed. We can do some caching in memory, all those kinds of things, which is not what we do today. But it allowed us to move so quickly that, yeah, we started June 9th. By June 21st, we had launched our product. We added pricing in July and had our first customer in July who was willing to pay us. We tried to make sure that we were conscious of the scalability, which some people don't do in the beginning, but we certainly had some struggles as we grew the product and realized that we'd made some mistakes as we'd gone along, and we've rectified those, made it easier to maintain and scale as time goes on.
This episode is sponsored by Cashfly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cashfly comes in. Cashfly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cashfly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cashfly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 TB CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks' solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com. So you've got the MVP. It's working. Tell me about how you went about building your roadmap. How did you mature it and progress the product? And I'm curious about, you know, what you did to decide, or what sort of criteria you were following to decide, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with Unkey.
Being in the API space, we just went and looked at, one, our competitors, and what features did they have that seem useful to everybody. And then we looked in the auth space as well, and look what they were offering to extend user management. The way that we decided on the roadmap was looking at what was hot in the space, and then also how we could fit that into Unkey. So I can give a pretty good example. In the beginning, we had rate limiting and keys that expired. So you could set a date on a key and it would expire after a week, a month, a year, whatever you wanted to set this key to, so that you could issue those keys out and they could expire. So if you needed someone to audit your API, you could give them a key and you don't have to worry, oh, I forgot to revoke this, and they still have access. All that kind of is handled through us. What we realized quickly was that AI was getting bigger and bigger. So in June, July, August sort of time frame, AI was really taking off. People were building more and more products on any kind of AI that was out there, whether it was image generation or it was something to do with text or it was taking voice and turning it into text. They were doing all these kinds of things. They were building token-based requests. You pay me $10 and then you get 10 generations or 100 generations, whatever the number may be. And so we introduced something called limited use keys, which essentially allowed you to set a limit to a key. So it could be used 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. And we pushed that into the AI space and said, hey, if you want token-based usage, don't build that yourself. Just come and use one of our API keys. And now you have the ability to do that, and you can do it for every customer. And it doesn't matter if they spend $100, $20, or $1 million, you can set that number to whatever you need it to be, and we will handle the rest for you. You don't have to worry about that user accidentally figuring out how to get more access without paying you. Our key will just stop working once it hits that limit. Obviously, as time has gone on, and now we're like a fully fledged company and we have funding, that roadmap has changed. the direction that we're moving in has changed. And those changes take time, and we drive to this overall vision versus the small wins that we know would get us more customers or more users.
You know, I hear you saying we, and I'm curious about how you went about building your team. And what do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
To give context, our team is just four people. We took a very different approach that I think most startups would take, which was our first hire was a junior engineer with zero production experience. I know the person personally through just life in general, and I knew that about his work ethic and the way that he takes on a role, whether it would be whatever he was doing at the time. He was a person that was all in from day one and would do everything in his power to make sure whatever we ask of him, he would deliver. So we took a big risk on hiring a junior as your first eng when you really need to be moving as quickly as possible. And it's paid dividends for us. So him being a junior did a lot of eye-opening for us. We realized that we were missing a lot of key core elements to building an actual company. We were missing things like, how does any of this work? None of that was documented. It was just all in our brains. How that works in the code base, how the code base works itself, which lends to the open source nature of the product too. Being open source, you need those so that if someone wants to contribute, they can do the same thing. And then secondly, our other hire had been in the industry for a few years, but we took the risk because he was a sales engineer, less a developer. And we decided that his passion just in general would pay dividends. We didn't care so much about these are going to be the most top performers in the universe and we need to pay them this giant salary to make our product. We actually went the opposite way, which was we would pay a reasonable market rate for these guys, knowing that they would push the product harder and harder. And Dom, our second hire, was very much that. He came to the interview process asking questions about Unki that you wouldn't normally see in a sort of an interview. We knew about his work, we knew about what he was doing, but we didn't expect someone to come in with half a dozen questions about what's the future look like? What do you expect from a team member? Where do you expect Unki to be in 5 years? What's the runway on the amount of money that you have today? If I was hired, how could I help bring the product to the next level? All those things that really made him stand out from everybody else that we'd even consider at that point. And both those hires have been incredible, which is pretty out of the norm for a normal startup. Normally you try and hire some really excellent folks and allow them to drive the product forward. And we went a different direction of hiring people that may have been underdogs, which, you know, Andreas and I are very much underdogs as well. And we've really just got all in the same boat and are all rowing the same way.
Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password? No, didn't know there was one. Do you know how to code? No. Do you know how to query data? Like, ask a question? I guess not. I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye. Don't be left out of the Analytics Club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. This episode is sponsored by CacheFly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where CacheFly comes in. CacheFly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, CacheFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, Only CashFly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 TB CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. Okay, this will be interesting. Given what you've built, I'm curious about scalability and where it came in. Was it built to scale efficiently from day one, or with scale in mind? Or is there anywhere where you're having to fight it as you grow?
So scalability was one of the number one priorities from the beginning. Building an API-first product that sits at basically core critical parts of a product, we wanted to make sure it scaled. So even when we were very young, in November of last year, one of our customers threw something like 3 million requests in a day through the system. And it's something that, you know, prior to that, they were doing like 30,000 requests a day. So they went on this huge jump from numerous days. And we only noticed, because we were checking analytics every day of like usage and things, the system just stayed solid the entire time. And then as we've matured the product out, scalability has been less of an issue. We haven't really had to worry about what happens if 100 million requests come through. We've done some pretty hefty sort of load testing on the system just to see. And we've never really had any sort of issues. And that's allowed the product to be, one, easily maintainable. And two, it's easy for us to slot a new feature in and not have to worry about the core system having any issues. And I'm forever thankful that Andreas spent the majority of his time worried about scalability and less about getting the product out in the first place or releasing new features or whatever. He's always been very conscious about making sure that our product will scale to essentially infinity without us having to worry too much.
Well, James, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built, what are you most proud of?
The developer experience that we've built is truly unmatched. And hearing that from customers is just one of those things that like warms the heart almost. Being able to give someone the tools to build this public API and spend what would take potentially weeks to build themselves, to take them less than an hour to make their API public and feel that it's going to be secure and scalable is something that I'm super proud of. And then as a company, I'm just proud of the fact that we're here and we have a startup. It was definitely not something that was on my sort of end of 2023 bingo card, that's for sure. And I'm proud of what Andreas and I have done and the team that we've built so far. And I'm looking forward to making that bigger and better as time goes on.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
I think the only time that we've really had this problem, it really was when we were scaling some of our product out. We had made some changes to the database itself. If you're using the web app and you wanted to create keys in the web app, that no longer worked. And we hadn't realized at the time that this had been affected. The team were incredibly responsive to the fact that it had broken. So it broken pretty late in the night for Andreas. And even for me, to be fair, it was like 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern time. So that's 2-3 o'clock in the morning, his time. It sent out the bat signal, said, hey, by the way, like our entire UI doesn't work right now. Here's what's happening. Here's the errors. Here's where we're at. Like I'm debugging, but also I'm not 100% sure where this problem lies. And Andreas got himself out of bed, essentially, and was like, oh, yeah, this was something that I did. Let me just push a fix out, get that working again, and then let's let the customers know the reason that this happened. And it's a small mistake that could have cost us customers, potentially, seeing errors that were not handled correctly and showing like database errors right in the application is definitely not graceful. But the team just responding around that and letting the team know this is going to happen probably again at some point. We're going to put a release out and something's going to break, and it's okay to do that. We're moving quickly, we're moving fast. But the amount of time it takes us to respond and actually talking to the customers about why this is happening allows us to take that mistake as a learning and make sure that those same mistakes don't happen again. It might be something else, but making sure that exact mistake doesn't happen a second time.
Okay, this will be fun, James. What does the future look like for Unkey, the product, and for your team?
We want to meet developers at their level. I don't want to be telling you, okay, now you have to figure out how YAML works and how Docker files work and how configuration files work. So the future of Unkey is very simple in nature. We are bringing out a gateway, but this gateway is going to be different than anything you've ever seen in the market. What we want to bring is a 1 to 2 click gateway that will allow you to protect an entire API or an entire web app, depending on what you want to do with it. And we want to make it scalable. So if you're only doing a few 100,000 requests, that's fine. We want to make sure that it's globally distributed so that your customers, no matter where they are today, they don't have to worry about why is the response so slow from your API. On top of that, we want to bring things like SDK generation, documentation generation, all those things that you need to build a comprehensive API from end to end. We want to be able to give you all the tools to do that as a developer and not have to hire an entire team to first build that infrastructure and then a secondary team to then implement that infrastructure. We want to make sure developers, no matter how new you are to the field, you could go to Unkey today or 6 months from now or a year from now and find everything that you need in a one-stop shop where you feel comfortable and you spend less time worrying about these features that are required for security or maintainability or scalability and worry more about that core product.
Okay, James, let's switch to you. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
One of them is definitely my dad. He has spent the last 30 plus years in the pharmaceutical industry working on all sorts of medicines and vaccines and all sorts of things like that. And every day he shows up and he works himself tirelessly, even in COVID, where he basically worked every day of the week during COVID to get vaccines so that people in the world could choose whether or not they want a vaccine or not, that was an option for them. And then secondly, my CTO, I'm definitely influenced by his hard work and his ethics. And then there's some other people out there. My girlfriend, Meg, she's an engineering manager. I see her trying to keep all of the engineering department working in a specific way. Those kinds of people just influence me with the work ethic and maybe not coming from a traditional background that you see when you think about tech or you think about just any of these like high paying jobs or high stress jobs. I certainly fell into the CEO role. I fell into tech. Andreas was semi-traditional, but these people that go out and show out every day are the people that really influence me.
Okay, so we talked about a mistake earlier, but this is a little different spin. If you could go back to the beginning, what would you do different? Or where would you consider taking a different approach? Doesn't have to be something that didn't work. Could have even worked well, but maybe you tweak it a little bit.
One of the biggest things is the API itself. The API has been through a few iterations since we began, and also it has gone through language changes. So in the beginning, if you remember in the MVP, we were TypeScript. Then we moved from TypeScript to Go because we felt like that's the best way to produce a stable API for us. And then we actually ended up coming back to TypeScript when we decided that we actually wanted to move off of Fly, where our server was deployed for our API. And we came back to TypeScript again. TypeScript's definitely what we really wanted, but we couldn't make it work in the beginning. So we rewrote a lot of code. And during that time, we were lucky that we had a small amount of customers because we had to essentially, all of the keys that were produced in the original MVP, we actually had to tell people you need to go and recreate all of these keys on the switch from TypeScript to Go, which was a very hard email to write. One, because we were just like two guys and we had no funding, we had no nothing, we were just two guys. And then secondly, getting those requests in of, is this ever going to happen again? Like, how can we trust the platform if this is the case? And having to explain ourselves and being like, well, the reason that we did this was because of a tech decision we made in the original MVP that we want to move away from. And even if we ever make any changes to this core product, this won't happen again. And we proved that when we went back to TypeScript and used Cloudflare Workers, we didn't have to make everybody reissue a bunch of keys or anything like that. We just made the switch seamlessly.
Last question, James. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
Firstly, show it to everybody. Show it to people on planes. Show it to your friends. Show it to your family. Show it to anybody that would want to listen. I think the key thing for us in getting to where we are today was less about the product in the beginning and more about yelling from the rooftops that we've brought this product out. I believe that there's two ways a product dies in the world. One is that you don't market it, and two, that you have terrible support. So in the beginning, you only have to worry about one of those, which is making sure you can market to anybody. So if you've already got the MVP or you're halfway there, now's the time to start talking about it. Talk about it with your friends, if they're in the same space as you. And overall, just have fun. I think people get way too serious when they're worried about, oh, I need to get funding for my product. Have fun. If you don't enjoy what you do every day, if you get $10 million, you're not going to be fulfilled every day if the product that you're building is not actually what you wanted to build in the first place. And I think that is a big thing. So yell it from the rooftops and make sure that what you're building is actually something you could see yourself building for the next 10 to 20 years are two really key pieces that I would give as advice.
Couldn't agree more. Well, James, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Unkey.
Absolutely. Yeah, really had a good time. Thank you so much.
And this concludes another chapter of Coat's story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.